right, Wrestle Getting Podcast fans, we are live a little early this week. This is your draft night one episode. I figured we'd kick it off here with SmackDown started to go over the some live reactions here as they do the draft this week. Lots of fun stuff there. What's going on, Carl?
Not much, man. Just, watching the drafts. Been watching the NFL draft as well.
We'll talk about the NFL draft. Got some stuff for that, wrestling-related stuff. But we got the draft going on tonight, night one for the WWE. Before we kick off anything else, let's run down the draft rules for tonight and Monday. So it looks like four rounds tonight, so 16 total picks, and there'll be 24 total picks on Monday, six rounds for that. The champions are not part of the draft, so each champion will stay on their respective show. The only champions that are included in the draft are the women's tag team champions, since they bounce between both shows anyway. SmackDown has the first pick tonight. Raw's got the first pick on Monday. And rosters are locked starting May 6th. So it looks like after Backlash. Tonight's draft pool. Oh, that's Monday's draft pool. Tonight's draft pool, you can see not a whole lot compared to Monday night. So we got AJ Styles, Braun Breaker, Seth Rollins, Shayna Baszler, Sheamus, Cedric Alexander. I'm not sure who that is with the glasses. A whole bunch of different people in here. Pretty much all Elf of Academy, OC, Nia Jax, Liv Morgan, Jey Uso, LA Knight. It's a lot of fun stuff there.
Yeah,
obviously Monday has a crap ton more.
So, is Cody officially SmackDown? I guess now.
Yes.
Okay. Because he was a Raw guy, right?
Yeah. If you said it was either this week or last week that was his last appearance on Raw before officially becoming a SmackDown guy.
Okay. So I don't know if any of the fans know, I'm not a huge fan of the draft. And I'm not a huge fan of the brand split. I know they got a lot of talent and stuff, but when you had Jason Day and the Bloodline and stuff bouncing back and forth, I like that a lot better than completely separate shows.
Yeah. As long if they do the brand split and they're going to do the draft, then make it exclusive. So give me a reason to watch SmackDown. Give me a reason to watch Raw, whether it be, a specific storyline, specific character, specific wrestlers. So if I'm an AJ Styles fan and AJ stays on SmackDown, then yes, that's a reason for me to continue to watch SmackDown. Or if it goes to Raw, that's a reason for me to watch Raw. So just keep it exclusive. Obviously you have those one-off situations where they're trying to build a WrestleMania or Survivor Series. Sometimes they do the brand versus brand matches.
But I don't know. If I had the first pick overall, I'm probably taking the ring announcer.
You remember that your announcers got drafted? Oh, awesome. So they have NXT.
Why do you draft Pat McAfee to the broadcasting team? I'd be so myself.
But other thing with this, too, is they made it seem like that NXT was going to be drafting as well.
But that's what I thought, too.
No mention of NXT at all in the official ruling or anything. It's just all just Raw and SmackDown.
Maybe they changed their mind.
It wouldn't surprise me, honestly.
I heard at one point that they were thinking about adding I mean, they always mention this where, like, you know, NXT is not supposed to be like the beginner league. And that they were trying to add like more veteran just so that they could, when the TV rights came, because they got so much for Raw, that they're trying to elevate NXT to where they can get a better deal with the NXT show.
Yeah. I mean, I get that, you know, trying to get, you know, more to get NXT on TV, you know, more money for that, especially with advertisers. But having veteran talent on NXT is not going to hurt the brand. If you look what they've done with Baron Corbin, now they've got Final Testament down there. Ivar's been down there. Becky, Seth. Like, having those guys around, the actual talent, the training talent that's down there, and them working matches with them on TV helps tremendously with that talent.
Was AJ Styles drafted, or they just brought him out?
I think you might be a little ahead of me. Oh, this is the contract signing.
Oh, for the title match?
Yeah, between him and Cody, Backlash.
This might be the second match of the year, man. What do you think?
I think so. I would have to
agree. Since Will Ospreay and Daniel Bryan had the match of the century.
Match of the century.
The greatest match of all time. I'm like, I think they're overplaying it a little bit.
No, man.
Don't get wrong.
Edge and Norton had the greatest wrestling match of all time.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I remember that being booked to that. But, did you watch Dynasty?
I didn't finish all of it. So
I got you.
I watched half of it. So.
Did you watch that match, the Ospreay Daniel Bryan match?
I saw highlights.
Okay.
I watched some of the highlight videos on YouTube.
The highlights are better. It wasn't like, but when I say this, like, it's not a bad match. It's a really, really, really good match. Really, really, really good match. I think it's just being overhyped just a little bit. To me, it was like a little too long. And I think that Okada and Pac had a better match for me personally. Like, I enjoyed that match a lot better.
Yeah, I did see that one since I kicked off the show, but that match was great.
Yeah, and that's what I want. Don't get me wrong, you can have a long ass match, but it has to be for like a title or like the last match of like a feud. It can't be like the first time you meet. I don't need this like long ass battle. And then they had like one like spot that kind of was like one of the things that kind of ruined it for me. It was like a spot where they're both like on their hands and knees and they start headbutting each other. And I forgot who on commentary, but they're like, "Oh, a couple of goats." And it's like, that's a fucking stupid shit.
That sounds like something Taz would say.
Yeah, it might be Taz that said it, but I was just like, like, when I say this, because, like, I hope people don't think I'm trying to say, like, the match was trash or anything. It was a really good match. It was just, like, I'm not giving it 7 out of 5 stars. You know?
Yeah.
I think this match is going to be really good. AJ Styles.
AJ Styles and Cody.
Cody
Rhodes. This match is going to be great. Oh, shit. Okay.
When is Backlash?
I want to say it's next week.
Next week?
I think it's next weekend.
Okay. I don't miss it.
First weekend of May. Awesome. All right. Well, while they're doing this contract signing, let's go ahead and hop over to the random band entrance theme. And the random band artist for this week is Aaliyah. I like Aaliyah.
I do too.
Way too soon. I love the a couple movies, but Queen of the Damned is probably my favorite that she's been in.
Yeah, she's pretty talented person. Absolutely. Pretty too. I had a crush on her. I think I like most boys then.
Oh, definitely. All right. You want to go first?
Yeah, I can go first. That way you can't swim.
Okay.
Dude, like, what do you need when you got an entrance? Is a fucking bomb-ass beat and a good-ass song to go with that bomb-ass beat. So I decided to go with probably like one of the best beats in all of R&B and hip-hop, and that is Are You That Somebody?
Nice.
Boom, 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 boom. Boom, boom. What did you decide to go with?
It's been a long time, man. I went with Try Again.
That's what I was about to go with first. I was like, oh, yeah. Like, I could lose, like, first, you know. It's self off and try again. Yeah, I love that video, too, growing up.
Myself off, try again. Finish my story.
Yeah. It makes me miss MTV2 and The Box and all that stuff.
Yeah. I remember.
Did you ever watch The Box? Did you ever watch The Box, or are you too old for that? Or too young?
We had The Box for a little bit, and then it switched to Fuse.
So, okay.
The Box was the one that was like where you could text, like the first one you could text and request a song.
What you call, it was like a 1-800 number. Yeah. You like called, and yeah, like you had to pay like a $1.99 or 99 cents or something like that.
It was something like that. I remember because we had it for, I think it was not even a year. Back in like in upstate New York, we had it for like a year, and then it switched to Fuse.
Yeah, I mean, we had it like a long time, but I just remember like that's like one of the things as a kid that didn't have cable. It's like watching it now.
That was the first music video channel I saw a Cottonmouth Kings video on. Never heard of them until I saw Bump on The Box. I was like, oh, this song's awesome.
Yeah.
And then Insane Clown Posse saw one of their first music videos on The Box. But I was listening to them before that anyway. But
yeah, mine was the Hot Boys and Juvenile, BG, Big Timers, 504 Boys, all those, yeah. 36 Mafia.
All right.
Or Teddy Club of Thugs, I think is what they were going by at that point.
All right, well, what we got for next week?
Next week we have some country music finger again. We got Alan Jackson. Now, if you want to be to it,
I think we'll be good on that one. Mr. Alan Jackson, who got up and walked out of Beyonce's country performance.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't because like the music or anything. He's just old, and he can't sit for long periods of time or stand for long periods of time anymore. So he had to get up and leave or move around or something. I don't remember exactly what his statement was, but he that wasn't like in protest of her being in country like everyone else was saying it was. But he's just old, man. Like, dude's probably like almost 80, somewhere around there.
I don't think he's that old. I think he's like around like my mom's age. I think he started pretty young. I think he started like,
okay,
yeah. I think he started like at like 18. Yeah. So he seems older than he is. And he looks kind of old. He always looked
old. I was going to say, like, you look old, like, in his prime, like, the height of his popularity.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. So Alan Jackson for last week. We had Aaliyah for this week. Let's go ahead and hop over to the Elite Figure of the Week. Sage, of course, is brought to you by EntertainmentEarth.com. Use the code FTCollect at checkout and save 10% off all in-stock items. The Elite I went with this week is the first ever WWE Mattel San Diego Comic-Con exclusive of The Undertaker. This is the first Comic-Con exclusive I've personally ever bought. This thing is freaking awesome. Like, the box itself, the figure, like, everything's just amazing.
Do you open it, or you still got it in the box?
I opened it. Cool. I still have the box, but I took it out of the box.
Did they ever make, like, they should have made, like, a fucking Stephanie McMahon, like, a wedding Stephanie McMahon figure sure. with, like, the little Undertaker symbol?
Oh, yeah.
you remember, like, when Austin came and saved her?
Yeah, because they did, like, they did Vince in the hood. Like, where he revealed himself to be the higher power for that segment.
Yeah.
Oh. Man, I'm honestly surprised. They could at least do Stephanie in that ring, in that outfit, but I doubt they would do the Undertaker cross. But. Awesome. So that is the Elite Figure of the Week. It's definitely one of my favorites. They did re-release it as part of the Defining Moments line a few years ago. Just made some tweaks to it. So the Comic-Con exclusive actually has the white eyes, where his eyes rolled back. Then the re-release has, like, the regular eyes.
I was trying to figure out why Triple H was coming out.
Oh, it must be time for a draft.
And my volume up a little bit. That's not too loud for you, is it?
Oh, no, I can't hear anything.
I can't really hear anything either. I got fucking headphones in.
Where the hell did my remote go? Lost my TV remote. I wasn't trying to put on the damn captions. So Cody and Triple H are going to announce the first draft pick.
Damn it, Triple H, just hurry up and give us the damn pick. We're going to have to start booting his ass like Roger Goodell. That's like the funniest thing is like the I know you don't watch like NFL much less like the draft, but the commissioner everybody hates the commissioner of the NFL. So like every time he comes out, and he like insists that he be the one that comes out and does the announcements or whatever, especially at first, and like everybody always like just boos the hell out of him.
Jesus, people are ridiculous, man. That's funny though.
Yeah, I got that. You want me to say it, or you want me to watch you see it?
I don't know why I'm so far behind you.
Are you streaming it?
Yeah, it's through the Spectrum app.
Okay, yeah, I'm doing mine through like Instant.
You got. All right, so Bianca stays on SmackDown. So if she's staying on SmackDown, that means at least Montez will probably end up on SmackDown.
Well, it's first picks with people that are already on the roster.
Yeah.
So.
All right, so Jay stays on Raw. I didn't see him moving back to SmackDown. So I have a feeling they're going to keep
Whoa! Surprise coming up, Chris. I like it, though. Yeah. That's a pick.
Ooh, nice. Nice.
Carmelo Hayes going to SmackDown.
All right. Here we go. That's a great pick. Garrett's probably like freaking out.
Seth Rollins, that's a good pick. Me and Garrett were talking earlier. We didn't know if any of the like people that's going to be away for a while was going to be in the draft or not. So I guess it kind of answers that. Yep. Carmelo Hayes is a solid pickup. I'm glad he's getting called up.
That's great.
I need to see you. That is good.
All right.
If I was down Matt, I definitely would put him like straight in the U.S. title picture.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. No, it's like he's going to wrestle tonight anyway. Or is he just coming out and do a promo? Nope, just a promo.
I think he's just doing a promo. They're probably going to get a commercial after this, I'd assume.
Nice.
Did you watch any of Raw?
Yeah, I did watch Raw.
You see what do you think about Becky winning the women's title?
We will get to that.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't see any notes in it.
That's amazing. All right, let's get in the ring. Brought to you by Dubby. Set up Dubby.gg to order your energy and hydration drink mixes. Use the code WrestleGuide in the TV. Save yourself 10% at checkout. Damn stupid. Okay, we'll have to get to Becky here in a couple minutes. Run through some of these news items real quick here. FTC. And you're wondering what the Federal Trade Commission has to do with wrestling. But this is what it has to do with wrestling. The FTC has banned non-compete clauses in corporate contracts, and existing ones will be voided.
Yeah, I've seen that. They said that like it only pertains to like a certain elite people that exist. So not only does it change it in WWE, but kind of changes it like in everyday life too.
Yeah.
So now, you know, if you're a manager at a certain retail, I think you can compete and go to work for another retail.
Yep. So this brings back that level of excitement back into wrestling like we had before the Monday Night Wars, where anyone could show up anywhere.
Yeah.
So this is awesome. I'm excited to see where this goes going forward. So you have guys that were recently released. I don't know when this goes into effect. But if you look at someone, which we'll get into here in a minute, Cameron Grimes, doesn't have to wait out that 90 days, depending on when this goes into effect. So he can just show up at Impact or AEW or Ring of Honor or anywhere and wrestle and still capitalize on, you know, that momentum that he had, or the little bit of momentum that he had coming off of WWE. Obviously, for bigger name guys, like The Miz, for example, somehow gets released from WWE, doesn't have to set up that 90 days, can show up on AEW Wednesday night.
Yeah. So,
I think that's probably like some of the most exciting news that we've had in a long time.
Yeah, for sure.
Contracts and everything.
And it's kind of for the good. It's like, I never understood the nookie clauses, you know what I mean? Because it's like...
Basically, WWE, it was just keeping them from having the situation like, you know, we had in the Monday Night Wars era where, you know, Scott Hall's contract was up. He's on WCW. He's on Nitro. Nash is on Nitro. Jeff Jarrett's on a pay-per-view one night and on Nitro the next night.
Yeah. But the thing is like a lot of the people that were getting affected by it were people that were getting cut. You know what I mean? Like, for me, like, if you're going to cut a guy, they should be able to do whatever they want. You know?
Yeah. You released him from his contract. So that should have voided that 90-day no-compete to begin with. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's not like they asked for a release or they quit or something like that. Like, I understand the no-compete if you – like, if they put that clause in there, if you quit or your contract gets terminated for wellness policy violation or something like that, I could see having that in there. But if we release you from your contract because of budget cuts or whatever, then you're free to go to do whatever you want.
Yeah.
This next one, I forgot to put a slide in here for. Jesse Ventura is actually back in talks with WWE. He says now that the company is going in a better direction, he said it was time to open up the doors and talk with the company again.
I wouldn't be opposed to him on commentary.
No, or occasional commentary, or like the pre-show panels before the pay-per-views and stuff.
I could probably deal without the pre-show panel because he does kind of rumble on a lot.
get some conspiracy theories out of him.
But commentary like during matches, like, you know, like old school WWE pay-per-views, like every once in a while, I wouldn't be opposed to.
The cool thing with that, if he is back in talks, we end up getting him under a Legends contract. That means he's open for a Mattel deal, so we can get Jesse Ventura figures, which we don't have from Mattel. We get him back in video games and other media, and Ventura T-shirts and stuff like that. So, like, from a merch standpoint, like, I'm all for that. I would love to have some Jesse Ventura figures. That's pretty cool. Oh man, awesome. All right. We talked a little bit about Cameron Grimes. He was released earlier this week. Crappy thing. The biggest complaint that I've got coming out of this is, you know, Trevor Lee posted a very heartfelt, emotional video on X and the rest of his social media. You know, talking about his release and how this was like the last thing that he got to tell his father before he passed away was that, you know, I signed with WWE, you know, I'm finally in my dream spot, my dream job, all this stuff. And then the fans come out of the woodwork and start attacking him for showing that type of emotion and vulnerability over being released from his contract.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's these same ass clowns that were attacking Samantha Irving for, you know, her emotional announcing. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, he's been with the company now for several years.
It was about 5 years.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, of course there's going to be emotional response to, you know, getting fired. I don't know if anybody's ever been fired, but not a fun feeling. Like at all. So sometimes people do want to cry. My hope, like, for him is, like, I hope that, like, this makes him, like, a little bit more selfish. Because I think, like, his biggest downfall is, like, he's a company man, and he was willing to take like a lot of losses that I think like he shouldn't have just to put other people over. And so like I hope he kind of gets a selfish like mindset and kind of protect his win and losses, even if, you know, the company wants him to take a loss, you know what I mean? Yeah, that's not really. I really don't get this one because I mean, I know he's been off TV for a little while, but I mean, everything he's been in, he's been great.
Oh, absolutely, especially that run in NXT with the Million Dollar Man and LA Knight. That was great.
Yeah. But you know, I always call him Trevor Lee because, you know, I think back to his TNA days, and when he was in TNA, man, he was like one of my favorite wrestlers.
Absolutely. For the Helms Dynasty.
And then, yeah. And then even in the Indies, you know, I watched, well, I went to Big Time Wrestling, man. He wrestled twice because Sabu, you know, showed. So he wrestled Cody Rhodes and then turned around and tag team with Gangrel against the Hardys. Nice. And he gave it his all. You know what I mean? Like, he's one of those guys that would, like, you know, give it his all, even if, you know, there's 10 people there versus 10,000 people there. I'm a big fan of the guy, and I wish him the best of luck. I don't know, like, if he went to AEW, like, to me, like, he would have to be, like, kind of like Swerve, where, like, he kind of creates his own push. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think they'll give him anything. Like, it had to be something that comes on, like, along natural. But I think, like, if he went back to TNA, or another good spot that nobody's really saying, like, if I was NWA, I would be thinking about, like, hey, this is a guy that we could probably bring in, make him the face of our franchise, put the title on him, a lot better than Tyrus. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I want to be opposed to him being back in North Carolina and hitting up some of the indies now, because you got a lot of great independent feds now with UPW, even FWE, like maybe bring in Trevor Lee instead of relying on Rene Dupree and Sylvain Grenier. Bring in Trevor Lee, even Deadlock Pro, like they run a lot of shows in North Carolina. Let's get Trevor Lee on these shows, man. Let's bring the crowds out.
Yeah.
Show this man all the love and support. He deserves it.
Yeah.
But he's got to come out to Katy Perry's Alien again. No other song.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Awesome. Let's see what else we got here. Dirty Dom. Nope, I got that mixed up. I forgot to put that in the notes, too. We'll start with this, and then we'll go to Dirty Dom. New Japan Pro Wrestling and Stardom. Stardom is now an official affiliate or subsidy of New Japan Pro Wrestling. So New Japan bringing in more of the women's wrestling into their fold.
I mean, they got to do something. They kind of fallen off the last couple of years. So they got to do something to kind of spark their interest.
Yeah.
In people. And they lost like a lot of their major players.
And the thing with this too, with the way women's wrestling has taken off in the last decade, I kind of feel like New Japan's kind of been left behind with that. As far as not having like a very good showcase for it.
Yeah.
Pull that up. So, but props to New Japan for at least taking a step forward and giving the Women of Stardom a bigger platform.
Yeah.
All right. So, Dirty Dom apparently out for the rest of the year with injury. We saw him in the sling on Monday as he came face to face with Liv Morgan. Kind of makes me wonder what they're doing what they planned on storyline for that.
Yeah, kind of sucks. I hope he don't, like, disappear. I hope they keep him, like, involved. They're showing Carly, though, attacking.
Finally pulling the trigger.
Yeah. Dirty Dom, dude, like, it sucks because he was on a roll. I just hope, like, they don't do nothing stupid, like, try to bring him back his face or something after he's gone for a while. The only thing that kind of concerns me, too, is I don't know what this really does for the Judgment Day with him and Rhea being out because they were kind of like the two main players. I mean, don't get me wrong, Damian Priest and Finn Balor are good in their own right, but without Dom and Rhea, it's kind of...
Now they're the two bigger draws. Because now you're just left with Priest and Balor and JD.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see maybe Finn and JD teaming up, going the tag team route, while Priest is doing the world title thing with the McIntyre right now. We can get some good stuff out of that. I was kind of thinking there, I think they're leaning more towards Dom and JD in that tag team role.
Yeah. I like to see Dom get like a singles title push, like in the US or Intercontinental title picture.
Yeah.
Dom
and Sammy put on some good matches.
Yeah. Yeah, he's one of those guys that's kind of, changed it for me because, like, when he first started, debuted, like, I couldn't stand the guy. Like,
We all hated Dom.
Now he's like one of my favorite wrestlers.
He's one of the best heels in wrestling right now, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Speaking of heels and wrestling, fucking Tony Khan at it again. I will say, I give him props for keeping kayfabe alive here in a time where kayfabe is pretty much dead after taking that Meltzer driver Wednesday night, showing up for the NFL draft in a neck brace. But someone's got to tell him, like, if you're supposed to have an injured neck or broken neck, you're not supposed to look left and right. But aside from that, he did make some comments, while he was being interviewed on the, NFL Network. He could have just went the high road and, promoted his company and put his company over on this national platform that he had for the NFL draft, which is something that WWE's never had. And basically he said, we've been doing this for 5 years, the most successful sports startup since the AFL pre-merger. There's not been a challenger brand that has gained as much market share as AEW in many, many, many years. We are like the Pepsi of pro wrestling. Notice how he didn't say Coke and he said Pepsi. Hopefully he's got no coke around his nose. And he says, we're up against a really evil juggernaut. WWE is our competitor. That's who we're facing. AEW, like the Pepsi of pro wrestling. WWE is like the Harvey Weinstein of pro wrestling. And I'm proud of what we do down here. So
take a shot at Vince.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah. Again, like Tony Khan taking more shots at WWE, but the second WWE takes a shot at AEW, everyone's all up in arms about it because they're picking on the little guy or whatever. But Tony Khan's been taking shots at WWE since day one.
And I have no problem with taking shit.
No, there's not an issue with it. Like, it's all part of competition. WCW did it. ECW did it. ECW took shots at both WWE and ECW. I mean, it's just all part of the competition, but I just think in a platform like this where you're in desperate need of getting your ratings up, since Dynamite had the lowest ratings in the last 3 years, this past Wednesday night, like, you think you'd be doing more stuff to get your ratings up instead of taking shots at your competitor. Why not, you know, put your talent over? Like, Swerve's like the hottest thing, one of the hottest things going in wrestling right now. Why not put Swerve over on this platform? Say, hey, you know, we've got a great world champion right now, Swerve Strickland. He's one of the most athletic, one of the most eye-catching wrestlers that you're going to see in our company. So, you know, check us out on Dynamite, you know, and Collision, and, you know, all these other shows. Like, put your brand over, not take shots at your competitor.
Oh, we're getting Cody versus Carmelo Hayes in there.
Oh, nice. That should be fun. As long as somebody doesn't interfere in it. Talking about you, AJ.
Maybe that's what Rock Pit and Cody Rhodes and maybe the Carmelo bar. We can probably get off the topic a little bit and talk about, like, the segment on AEW. If I was Tony Khan, I would use this opportunity to write myself off the show.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like, I mean,
I'm interested in where this is going to go. I mean, I think we've talked about before, the EVP role for the Bucks, I think, is a better fit for them now. And I think it's more entertaining than what they were doing before, especially when you add Okada to the mix, and now you're bringing in Jack Perry, who I was surprised at the reaction that he got, which I thought was pretty good. So I'm more interested to see what these four are going to do, especially when you tell me Kenny Omega is coming back next week. So
yeah,
what's this going to be like on next week's Dynamite? So that makes me want to watch it.
That's the only thing that's kind of weird, though, like them trying to kind of set Jack Perry up as like a face, but then he's heel, so it don't really make sense. But
yeah,
a lot of people comparing it to the NWO Hogan turn at the
Madison. No,
this is not that, but
yeah, that's not even that big.
I am kind of, you know, interested to see what they do with it. But to me, if it was me, I would right turn Khan off. You know, you guys should make. Hurt, you're injured. Has somebody come in as like a general manager that's like a face? Like, I don't know. You probably could get Jack the Snake or somebody to do it. You know, have it be like, you know, this is like the heels versus the face of the kind of like fighting for the company type thing.
Yeah,
or fighting over the control over the company.
I think we're going to get the new elite, I think, is going to be the ones that are going to start. You're going to see when they flash the backstage, like to the gorilla position, all that stuff. I think it's going to be like the elite, like the Bucks sitting there behind the table with the headphones on, calling the shots and all that stuff. At least we'll get that for a while.
Then you have Kenny Omega come back and like just have him sit in the stands, Raptors. Yeah. Like his face painted white. Is he EVP or not? We don't know.
Oh, yeah, awesome. All right, let's get into some WWE stuff from last week. NXT Spring Break-In, week one. Trick Williams defeats Ilya Dragunov for the NXT World Championship. So Ilya's definitely coming up to Raw or SmackDown. I guess we'll find out either tonight or Monday night, but
yeah, our man Garrett, his thoughts was having him join in Imperium.
Oh yeah, since they kicked out Giovanni.
Yeah,
I could see that happening. So either that, or you know, he comes up and teams up with Giovanni.
He could take on Wata.
Think about
Gunther.
because that was the Gunther's last loss in NXT UK was the Ilya before he came to before they put Gunther on SmackDown or on NXT permanent before moving up the Raw and stuff. So, but big props to Trick Williams. This has the internet wrestling community divided. Becky Lynch.
Yeah, I don't get the Becky Hogan reference. Like, she's nowhere near fucking Hulk Hogan, dude.
My thing is this, is like, these people, some of these fans think that Becky's backstage politicking to become the champion. Like, where is WWE on their next three pay-per-views? Not in the U.S. They're overseas. Freaking Backlash, and then you've got Money in the Bank, you got Clash at the Castle. All three of those pay-per-views are in Europe.
Yeah.
So why would you, like, yes, I thought it would have been cool to see Liv get that title or, you know, somebody else. But you're going over into an international market. You have Becky Lynch, who's a huge star, huge Irish star. Why would you put the title on somebody else when you're trying to build those pay-per-views?
Yeah.
Put it on Becky. She's going to bring those people in. Oh. All right. Looks like we got Michelle McCool and Tori Wilson announcing some draft picks.
Yeah, it's a commercial break. Yeah, and like out of everybody else in the Battle Royal, like, I definitely didn't want Nia Jax to win. Like, you know, she's a huge snooze fest. I mean, I already said it like last week. Yeah, I'd like to see like Chelsea Green or Piper Niven's, you know, win, but. You know, they're not draws, you know what I mean? So, of course, they're going to put on somebody that's a draw. And then, plus, like, if they were going to pass the title off to and that somebody else that's kind of up and coming, wouldn't you want them to win the belt, like, from a legit person versus
a battle royal?
Like,
yeah, like you want it to mean something. Like when Liv won with cashing in the Money in the Bank. Like, that put some emotion, and here we go, emotion in wrestling again. So that put the emotion behind Liv winning the Money in the Bank, the build up for her winning that, and then her cashing in the Money in the Bank and winning the SmackDown Women's title. That's what you want. You want that emotional pop from the crowd to get behind that person. So you need the build up, you need the story, and not just, okay, well, Chelsea Green just won the Battle Royal to become the women's champion. No build up for it, nothing. So why would you do that? So it just doesn't make any sense. And plus, this gives you more time to go more with Liv's revenge tour, and where you can turn her to, you know, going after Becky with the title, because that's, you know, going to be part of her revenge tour is getting that title. And that would be the culmination of her revenge tour is winning that title. But it's just not now.
Yeah.
That might not
Gordon be Ramsay's SummerSlam. Gordon Ramsay said he's got another damn show coming
out. Oh, Lord. Freaking Gordon Ramsay. Oh, awesome. All right, those are pretty much the biggest things from WWE this week. We had a little bit of a stare down between, or we had a back and forth promo between Damian Priest and Drew McIntyre, or not Drew McIntyre. Was it Drew? No, Priest and Jay Uso. Yeah. And then you had
Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre was with Sheamus. Drew
and Sheamus was awesome.
Yeah. Burger after burger. All right, they're announcing some picks.
All right, here we go. Round two.
Oh, SmackDown getting Randy Orton.
SmackDown keeping Randy Orton.
Well, keeping Randy Orton. I meant to say, like, picking Randy Orton. My bad. Poor choice of words. They got the audio messed up, though. You can hear the production team trying to talk to him. Raw got Bron Breakker.
Bron Breakker. All right. It was funny because he just signed to SmackDown.
Oh, they on the thing, they have it, son of Hall of Famer Rick Steiner, so they're acknowledging his lineage.
All right. Good for them. That's awesome. So I guess they're done kind of keeping the Rick Steiner stuff shush now, huh?
Oh, that's bully, right? But yeah, they got the production people or somebody talking over the broadcast.
Nah. JBL's in there.
Oh God!
Bully Ray, Teddy Long.
Oh my God! Yeah, what a dumb decision.
It kind of annoys me that I'm like behind you. at least I'll have to watch her on Raw. She is a former model. That is true.
And Liv Morgan went to Raw. All
right.
How did, like, Nia Jax even make the damn show? Is like, like, if you're dropping fucking Nia Jax, you must not want your fucking network to do well.
You don't want your women's division to be well. Oh, awesome. All right. Let's go ahead and let's get into some AEW this week. Let's talk some Dynasty. Woohoo. I'm going to pull up the picks here. Garrett and I both tied with 4. Get down here. Carl, you got 2. that was a tough one to kind of predict there, but it is what it is on that one. All right, here we go. The 0 hour, probably the big match on the 0 hour, the unification of the trios titles, 6-man titles. The Bang Bang Gang Bullet Club Gold came out on top of that, over the Acclaimed and Daddy Ass. Kind of didn't think that was going to go that way. I know we didn't do picks for that one, but I thought they would have, the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn would have taken the win on that. But
no, I think I would definitely put it on Bullet Club Gold if I was in charge of that.
What they need to do is, should unify those titles and replace it with one set. All right, main show kicked off with, I think we both agree, the match of the night, if not a big contender for match of the year, Okada defending the Continental Championship against the Bastard Pac.
Yeah, like I said, it's like one of those things where it's kind of everything you want in a match. You got
some great storytelling in this match, some great back and forth. It's very well done. And that's the thing, when AEW's pay-per-views are usually dead on. You know you're going to get some great matches. It's just like the build-up to the pay-per-view wasn't that great, unfortunately, like with a lot of stuff, because this one was just kind of thrown together. Like, there really wasn't that much of a build to it. But this match ended up being a great match.
So. Yeah, I mean, if you do buy tickets, you know you're kind of getting your money's worth for the AEW pay-per-view. My only like complaint with that is like I wish they had Stardom. Like if we're gonna have like these long ass pay-per-views, like suck that bitch at 7, yeah, or 6.
Run them on Saturday and don't worry about Collision because nobody's watching Collision anyway. So,
even if you're doing it on Saturday, I don't want it that late. Oh, Kevin Owens attacking the Bloodline.
And some retribution from last week. There's my dude, Tama Tonga. I'm sure we'll see Jacob soon.
Yeah.
All right. 6-man tag match. Edge or Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe against the House of Black. It wasn't a bad match.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. You know, it's something that I didn't want, but you know that it happened. It was good. I enjoyed it.
I mean, at least with this, there was more of a build up to it, and it kind of made sense because everyone involved in this matchup had some kind of issue with the House of Black.
Yeah.
So I mean that makes sense. They've been going after Mark Briscoe for like the last 3 or 4 weeks now. They've Malachi's and interfered with Edge's stuff, or at least you know distracted him in some of his matches. Kingston's had an issue with him. I mean, Kingston has an issue with everybody, but I mean, so Kingston's like plug and play now with like tag teams and feuds. Like, he's someone who's got an issue with somebody. Kingston's got it. Put him in there.
He's got an issue with somebody. Yeah. I mean, as far as like, you know, them starting to do storytelling, like, looks like they're setting up probably Edge and Malachi Black for the TNT title or something, maybe.
Absolutely. Which would be a great match too. So and I'm pretty sure Malachi was on Edge's list anyway, though, of people that he definitely wanted to work with before his actual retirement. So well, that was a pretty solid match. This one was probably one of my most anticipated matches, and it did deliver. Willow Nightingale versus Julia Hart. Willow picking up her first AEW singles title with the TBS Championship. So huge props to Willow on that one. Just the downside, we get more Mercedes Moné promos leading up to All Out.
Yeah. But yeah, I enjoyed this match too. It was really good.
Definitely like going into got Willow celebrating, then of course you had to have Mercedes come out and interrupt the celebration. And then same thing on Wednesday night. They're talking Willow celebrating her title win, and Mercedes comes out, and like I'm getting tired of Mercedes Moné promos.
Like, yeah, she needs to wrestle.
Is she injured? Like, what's going on with this? Like, why can't we get her in a match or something? At least a tag match.
Like, I think they're trying to build her. Like butted up, like as like a, you know, like a spectacle, but
yeah, but it's getting really boring now. Yeah, so at least Willow lit into her, like having like, you know, what's your problem with me? Like, do you blame me for your injury? When I beat you for the New Japan Strong Women's title. And like going back and forth with that actually evoked some emotion out of Mercedes in your promo, which was different than or a nice change from the promos that she's been doing the last few weeks. So.
Yeah.
Well, that was a great matchup. I love Willow. This match was actually pretty good too. The International Championship, Roderick Strong versus Kyle O'Reilly.
Yeah.
Up until like Wardlow getting involved and
World didn't really get involved, though.
You have like a little bit of a distraction or something out there.
Yeah, I mean, he's like a distraction, but he didn't physically touch anyone. The only thing is, it kind of made it seem like Adam Cole kind of like stared at World a little bit at the end.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if they're planning on kicking Warlow out or not, or what, but
I won't be surprised. Wardlow needs to do something. I don't think he needs to be a part of a group. He needs to be a
single star. Adam Cole stood up.
Yeah, Adam Cole walked. It's a miracle.
Yep.
Adam Cole walked. Oh, that's probably like the highlight of that match.
But yeah, it was a good match. They probably could have trimmed now? Like 5 minutes out of it, but
don't do this. I hate when they interview people like this. Like, this is like AEW shit. Don't interview with your back to the crowd. Ugh. So annoying. That should be a fun match, though. Jade and Bianca versus the Kabuki Warriors. All right, what else we got here? Hook and Jericho. What'd you think about this one?
They should have left us off the fucking card.
This was probably my least favorite match from what I got from what I watched this pay per view. I just completely lost interest as soon as the entrances were over.
It don't make sense either. Like, I don't know why Jericho won.
So he can put Hook over in the next match, the final match. It's a whole formula with Jericho.
Yeah, I don't know. It, to me, it was stupid.
Did not like that one. This one I did not get to see. I need to go back and watch this because this is one I wanted to watch as well.
It was really good.
Thunder Rosa, two of probably my favorite women on AEW's roster, aside from Willow. You said this match was pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably like, I don't know, maybe second or third best.
Okay. Nice. And, Tony Storm retained on that one. Wednesday, though, we had Mariah May come out with one of the women from Stardom that was wrestling. I cannot remember what the hell her name was. But she was out there and she's wrestling Anna Jay. Anna Jay ended up taking out both of them, Tony Storm. And KO is beating down Tama Tonga. But Tony Storm comes out to make the save for Mariah May. And then Serena Deeb comes out and makes herself presence known and makes it known that she's coming for the women's title. So I'm kind of excited for that one.
Yeah.
What else we got here? Will Ospreay, Bryan Danielson. Pretty good match, but definitely not like we talked about earlier. Just watching the highlights of this compared to the Okada Pac match, that was definitely the better match out of the two of them.
Yeah. It was a really good match. Like I said, it makes me sound like I'm shitting on it. I just don't think it's like the hype that everyone's giving it is like the best wrestling match of all time. Being there.
Yeah.
But it was good.
I'm sure it'll be up there. Definitely Meltzer's match of the year contenders. This was probably like a huge hard on for this entire matchup.
He gave it a 7 out of 5.
Dude, if you can't keep your stars within your own freaking rating system, then you need to stop. Ridiculous. Fucking Meltzer. AEW Tag Team Championship match. Of course, the Young Bucks picked up the win on this one with some help from the scapegoat, Jack Perry. Coming out and pushing Dax off the ladder, pushing the ladder over. And I love how they the security guard managed to work him into the corner with the camera. and then take his mask off in front of the camera. And yeah, the other fan, they would have beat his ass and threw him back over the guardrail.
So, they might have thought it was Sting.
It was Sting. It was Sting under the Sting mask. from what I saw, highlights of this one, this actually looked pretty decent. I mean, stuff like this, it's like right up the Young Bucks alley as far as like spots and all the other stuff. So
yeah, it was actually a really good match. They kind of botched the finish a little bit because Jack Perry I don't think he got to the ring fast enough. So like when Dax got up there, he kind of looked goofy because he was like up there and nobody was there to knock him down.
Oh, awesome. We got the Dudleys announcing the next round of drafts coming up here, so that should be pretty awesome. This one, though, Samoa Joe versus Swerve was definitely, my opinion, match of the night.
I don't think it was match of the night.
You don't think so?
No, it wasn't match of the night. Like, yeah, I loved it.
The highlights and stuff that I watched for this was just freaking amazing.
So. Yeah, don't get me wrong, I liked it, and I was very, excited to see, because I've been saying they need to put the title on Swerve now for a few months.
Yeah. Like I said last week, when we were doing our picks, if they weren't going to put the title on Swerve at this pay-per-view, they weren't going to put it on him at all. So I'm glad they decided to pull the trigger on that. Like, he's the hottest act on your roster right now. Like, you need to capitalize on it. So,
mm-hmm. And they did. And he did it naturally, like on his own. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It wasn't something he did for him or anything like that. So,
yep.
And that's a good thing. It shows like a lot of that maturity on Tony Khan's part, because you know, I've seen Vince several times not put people over just because he didn't build them. You know what I mean?
Oh, like Zack Ryder.
Yeah.
Zack Ryder gets himself over with YouTube with the Z True Long Island Story, and then they have Kane push him off the stage in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
After he gets low blowed by Eve Torres. Come on. How dare you try to get yourself over and make yourself more money?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, but big props to Tony Khan on that one for at least capitalizing on that. He didn't make the same mistake he made with the Acclaimed by putting the title on them, after they weren't white hot anymore.
Yeah.
Awesome stuff there. Here we go. We kind of talked about this a little bit during our news segment here, but there's your new Elite. The Bucks, Okada, and Jack Perry, after laying out Tony Khan. Jack Perry gets reinstated. Jack lays him out. I did like the pause, like the Bucks, as they're helping up Tony, or like they're going to hit him with the EVP trigger, but instead, helped him up and then decided to hit him with the Meltzer driver.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a Meltzer driver anymore. I think they changed it to something else.
I think they call it a Tony driver now.
I think it's a Tony. Yeah, I think it is a Tony driver. So, but they hit him with that and said Tony sold it. Kayfabe, right into the NFL draft. And his dad came out to check on him, too. The whole big thing with that last night, too. Or Wednesday night.
Yeah.
It's pretty solid. All right, here we go. Round three of the draft. Who are we drafting? At least we'll have to do separate entrances for them.
Do I got some kind of like I must have something on my TV or something. Maybe it's this.
I don't know. I can't really hear the TV. Like, I turned the volume down so the mic wouldn't pick it up, and then I got my headphones on, and the remote's on the floor, and I don't feel like bending over and picking it up.
Yeah, SmackDown's like LA Knight.
Yeah, Knight staying on SmackDown. I would have liked to seen him move to Raw.
Yeah, his personality fits Raw more.
I love how they had to take the glasses out. Even though Bubba's got like actual readers on his thing, on his shirt. Oh, the Raw War Room. JBL is so upset.
They didn't want to spoil the pick for you, let's see, Reacto.
And Ricochet staying on Raw. That's kind of a given with Samantha Irvin being the ring announcer. I like Ricochet. They need to drop put a title on him again.
SmackDown drafted the Bloodline. When they said they specified that they drafted Tama Tonga and Solo Sikoa and Paul Heyman.
No, I mean that's technically the Bloodline. So I guess Jay, I think it said Jimmy was excluded from the draft. So I guess he's injured.
We're all selecting somebody there to head.
The last match Solo Sikoa won was against John Cena. And Sheamus wasn't officially on the Raw roster, though. He was on SmackDown.
Yeah, I think he was just on there last week. That's awesome.
Yeah, last couple weeks. All right. Pretty solid picks there for round three. Even though nobody went anywhere. Well, I guess Sheamus is probably the only one that actually moved to
Woodbury. Yeah, technically. Yeah, even though he was there Monday. They must have got the memo early. That's why they drafted him, because he was there Monday. Yeah.
Tiffy time. All right. I forgot to pull these results up here, too. Forgot about TNA Rebellion over the weekend. I did not get a chance to watch this. Also, I thought it was on Friday night. I didn't realize it was on Saturday. But, so the big things from this, we had the return of Mike Santana, Matt Hardy, and Sami Callihan. And I believe Santana is the only one that officially has signed a contract with TNA.
Yeah. That's what I heard.
Pretty much everyone retained their championships. There was no... see any title changes on here at all.
Well, you know, Moose and Jordan Grayson losing.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yep, Danny Luna and Jody Threat retained over Decay, Laredo, Crazy Steve. Retained the whatchamacallit, Digital Media Championship, which I don't know why Alicia Edwards accompanied Crazy Steve if she's with the system. It's kind of weird.
I heard Grizzled Young Vets signed with AEW.
Really?
That's what I heard. I don't know if it's true or not.
I know they started their own promotion back in the UK. That just saw that news today. Mustafa Ali retained X Division title. Rich Swann defeated Joe Hendry. Frankie Kazarian defeated Eric Young in a Full Metal Mayhem match. Mike Santana defeated Steve Macklin. World Tag Team Championships. The System retained over Speedball Mountain. Josh Alexander defeated Hammerstone in a Last Man Standing match. Jordan Grace defeated Steph DeLander. And Moose retained over Nick Nemeth. Which after that, we saw the return of Matt Hardy. And on TNA this week, Nick Nemeth and Matt Hardy seem to have formed a bit of an alliance here going up against the System.
Did you say the TikTok I sent you of the Joe Hendry?
Yeah, the chick bouncing on Joe Hendry.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I don't know how all these freaking random-ass people are that was in that ring with them.
Yeah, it was good though. I like it.
It's kind of entertaining. I honestly was not a big fan of. I liked Hit Row, on NXT. Like I enjoyed them. Thought they were decent. When they brought Hit Row back without Swerve, I was like, okay, these guys can be a pretty solid tag team. Like they had a pretty good, bit of a. Momentum behind them, I guess, before they got released. So they bring them back and they basically do nothing. Was not a fan. Really did not like Top Dollar that much. But now we're going into this and you have Top Dollar and TNA, you know, under AJ Francis, and the stuff with Joe Hendry has been entertaining. Pairing Rich Swann with them up has helped out tremendously.
Yeah.
So I think they're doing a pretty good job. A little more entertaining than I thought he was going to be. So.
I believe in Joe Henry.
So props to them on that. All right. And that's pretty much all I've got for wrestling stuff this week. I don't know what else we've got to... kill up the next round to the draft here, but let's go ahead and hop over to No Holds Barred.
No Holds Barred. No Holds Barred.
All right, got a game for you, Carl.
What's that?
It's called What Did Chris Buy This Week?
Is it a figure?
It's a figure.
Wrestling related or Ninja Turtles?
Wrestling.
Wrestling related. Dude, don't tell me you picked up one of those Chris Jericho figures from Walmart.
Oh, God, no. No. It is an AEW figure, though.
Because... every time I go into Walmart, like the toy section, like the only two AEW, I only have two AEW figures. It's always Chris Jericho and Eddie Kingston,
or Nyla Rose. Those are like the three I see all the damn time.
I haven't seen any Nyla Rose, but yeah.
All right, yeah. So I walked into the other Target here, local to us, one that we both used to work at. I had to pick up some my prescriptions, so I was waiting for that. So, hey, let's go check the toy out. Come up, and boom, the Chase CM Punk.
What?
Yeah. Dude, this was at like mid-afternoon. This before I went and picked
my kids. Wow.
So this was probably between like 2 and 2:30. This was on the shelf.
Wow. Like,
how the hell is this still sitting here? It's like you gotta be.
They had to like just stock it or something.
Yeah, it was Wednesday. It was Wednesday that I picked this up because I was back in there Thursday morning, and they had the CM Punk in the yellow tights, the regular one. So I picked that up for my friend Chris because I already grabbed that one a few weeks ago. Well, I was like, oh shit, they've got Punk in the red tights, man. So I was pretty stoked for that. You know, I'll probably keep this one in the box and put a little protector on it.
Actually, yeah, I would.
Both Punk chases now. I forgot I found the other one. I thought I didn't have that one. I'm looking right at it. It's awesome.
The only thing is like if you could get him to sign it.
Oh, that'd be sweet. He's definitely on my list. But I know like the only convention that he does on a regular basis is C2E2 in Chicago. It's like down the street from his house. So
he just has to be like, hey, I know you don't want to sign this, but could you please?
Nah, I think with the money there, he'll sign pretty much anything.
So, I'll get Nia Jax attacking Bailey.
Oh, of course. Gotta get a title somehow. That's gonna be Bailey's like first title feud is Nia Jax. Like, come on.
I don't think so. I thought anticipated Naomi and I don't know. Could just be wrong. Maybe it isn't Nia Jax.
Nia, that's your family. Stop beating her up. Nail me your cousin by marriage. Oh, man. I can't think of anything good coming out.
I believe in Japan.
Well, is she going to hit the PME on both of them?
Yeah.
I like Tiffany Stratton. She's one of those ones that like progress very well. Her character, like, could not stand her when she first debuted on NXT, and just like the overall character development and everything, her in-ring development has been phenomenal.
Yeah. The Pacers beat the Bucks tonight in overtime.
Good. Oh, apparently Kenny Omega didn't know he was coming back next week.
I think he's just been playing video games. He might not even be in shape.
Let's read this article here. So. What would that mean? Oh, shit. It started playing in my headphones. It's basically he said he's caught off guard. Oh, I guess Dynamite is in Winnipeg next week. Okay.
Maybe he's kayfabing and
So he's kind of surprised to hear it. He said he was thinking about showing up in Winnipeg, and he was kind of surprised to hear that he would be there. All right, JBL and Teddy Long for the final round of draft picks on SmackDown tonight.
We did there like the last pick in tonight's SmackDown select. I believe in Joe Hendry.
Let's see. Could be the last four.
That's something they ought to do when you save a pick that like nobody's looking expecting. Like a new sign. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Maybe that's what they do with Jacob Fatu. Maybe they have him.
SmackDown like, selects Jacob Fatu.
Fatu. And everybody like, what the fuck? I didn't know this thing.
That would make sense. Like, they should try to keep, like, actually be more entertaining if they did that. It's trying to keep, like, these guys, like, new contract signees, like Jacob Fatu, Tama Tonga, like, keep them, like, as quiet as possible. And then, like, when they do the draft, like, it's around the draft time, they'd be like, you know, SmackDown selects free agent Jacob Fatu, just to make it more realistic.
Yeah. Oh, they're advertising the PBA championships.
Awesome.
You good at bowling?
Not really.
Not really. Not really either.
You were there.
My height.
Oh no, I didn't bowl at that part at Xavier's party.
My highest, I think, like score ever was like a one, something like a 160, I think. That was like me doing like the best that, like ever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I would just, after a while, we kind of get bored. And it would just be see how fast, because the bowling alley in New York that we'd go to all the time had a, like a radar to clock the speed of the ball. So we'd just see if we can get the highest speed of the ball down the lane. And that's what we ended up doing.
Yeah.
Nobody cared about pins. Oh man, these commercial breaks are terrible.
Oh, it's so long, man.
Yeah. Paramount Plus dropped the new Knuckles series.
Was that a series? I thought it was supposed to be a movie.
No, it's like a 6-episode mini series.
Oh, okay. I've seen the advertisement. I just thought it was like a movie though.
Yeah, haven't watched that yet. I'm surprised my kids haven't been like, we want to watch Knuckles.
Yeah, I'm surprised too. My son usually is on top of Sonic and stuff.
They're all hyped up after that last Sonic movie when they showed Shadow. I'm like, oh my god, Shadow's going to be in Sonic 3. Can't think of anything. Figure collectors out there, the new Legends figures dropped the 28th, Target exclusives. Those sets are going to feed. That set features Captain Lou Albano, the Sultan, New Japan Hulk Hogan, and Muhammad Ali. And the Final Testament just took out New Catch Republic.
JBL and Teddy Long.
Oh, this would be, I'll show you this after.
Oh man, you called that one, Chris. He probably wasn't my first pick, but
AJ Styles stays on SmackDown. Oh, the end.
Oh, God. Really? This is why I hate the draft, just because, like, it's never realistic. They're just throwing, like, random people up there now.
So, like, all of Alpha Academy. Okay. I mean, it makes sense because you have this whole thing with Chad Gable going after the Intercontinental title, so why would you move them to a different show?
I mean, I know it makes sense to like have them stay on Raw, but to draft him over... you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
it doesn't make any fucking sense.
This should be interesting. Depending on where Legado and LWO end up.
Yeah, I got another call up.
Kiana James. All right. Like Kiana James.
Yeah. But yeah, like, we're on round four and Gunther hasn't been selected. Like, it's not a fucking draft.
I don't think he's in the, he's not in the SmackDown draft pool. Yeah, he's in Monday.
Oh, they're like separate pools?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
Aside from NXT talent, everyone, like, because Ivar didn't get drafted. Alba Fire and Isla Dawn, Cedric, Ashanti, Shayna Baszler, Roman, the OC, Zoe Stark, Liv Morgan. That's like the, and Ivar, those are the, like the handful that weren't drafted tonight. So pretty much everyone else in the pool was drafted. And then Monday night, we've got a larger pool because it's, you know, two more rounds than what SmackDown had. It was basically two rounds an hour, what it looked like.
Yeah, I don't know. To me, it's just like, I don't know.
Okay, so there's Monday's draft pool, which will have the LWL, Legado, Damage Control, New Day.
It's not going to take Gunther first overall. It's all scripted.
It's not real.
And then Shawn Michaels over there clapping his hands was like, dude, they're taking talent from me. Why are you clapping your hands?
All right. Oh, awesome. All right. I think you'll appreciate this one. AEW announced towards the end of last week, a new Ringside Collectibles exclusive. And then it's none other than The Last Outlaw, Jeff Jarrett.
That's what I'm talking about.
This figure is... I didn't think I wanted or needed an AEW Jeff Jarrett figure, but I need this. This figure looks awesome. So you've got the finger point, the pointed fingers, so you can put them in his little strut pose. Comes with a guitar.
Fargo strut.
Amazing. So he's got the double J, the My World logo. Guitar is cool. And the box, like the window on the box is cut out like the double J logo.
That's pretty cool.
And the guitar. I didn't even notice that at first. So the bottom of that's a guitar. That's awesome.
Do you have any Diphtheria figures?
I have his one of his first one, the Bone Cruncher. Yeah, the double J one. It's got the hat and the sunglasses.
I got you.
That was pretty cool. I think that was the probably like one of the bigger things that they put up there. They did announce a Unrivaled 15. They got the MJF and the Devil costume, which I think has a removable, interchangeable heads. New Samoa Joe, Ethan Page, Lionheart Chris Jericho, a out of date Daniel Garcia, and Saraya. Which we'll probably never won't see those in stores. Oh, awesome. All right. So there is your draft for this week. Pretty solid picks. Even though hardly anybody changed shows. Not like anything real big shakeup wise. So maybe we'll get more of that on Raw. Kind of disappointing. Kiana James is kind of surprised though. I didn't peg her as someone that was going to get called up to. Props to her.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, sir. Do you got anything else? Oh, no, go ahead.
No, that's it. No, I was going to say they kind of needed some like new women involved.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. It's too bad Sol Ruka lost all that time for injury. I'm sure she would have been primed to get called up.
Yeah.
Love her finisher. That Soul Snatcher is freaking awesome.
Yeah. It is.
Awesome stuff there. All right. All right. Well, that's pretty much going to do it for us for this week. So thank you guys for joining us for this special draft edition of your WrestleGetting podcast, episode 233. I'll be back Monday. So I don't know if Carl's going to be here or Garrett, but I'll be here for all 3 hours of Monday Night Raw, covering the night two of the draft. So might have my wife apparently was trying to talk me into letting them come on and react live with it as well, which means I got to move the whole setup upstairs. So, but yeah, so thank you guys for checking us out. We appreciate it. Make sure you follow us on all our social media outlets, X, Instagram, Twitter, or not Twitter anymore, X, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook. Just search WrestleGetting Pod. It'll come up one or two D's. It should show up with no problem. If you're having trouble, hit the link tree in the episode description or in the bio. Well, episode description, because it'll be there. If you're listening to us Saturday. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/ForTheCollection, to watch us live there on YouTube, and facebook.com/WrestleGettingPod1D to watch us right there live on Facebook. And make sure you interact with us during the live broadcast as well. Chat with us. You know, if you got something you want to say, go ahead and say it. We'll talk about it, comments, all that fun stuff. So,
yeah. But, Especially if you disagree, because I love arguing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you got something. We say something, you disagree with it, go ahead. Hit us in the chat. We'll go back and forth with you. Or we might even just invite you to come on to air your piece out. You don't know. Be one of those things. But awesome. Well, that's going to do it for us. Thank you guys for checking us out. We appreciate you. Love you all. Guys, have a safe and fun Friday night. And we'll check you all Monday. Later, Marks.
Later.